head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanski, and...
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And boy, I am so happy because in the studio I have one of the original Rusty Satellite guests, Angie Fenton. Welcome to the show, Angie.
Thank you. It's so good to be back here.
It's been a while. You were in, believe it or not, you don't know this because I looked it up, show number 7.
Was I really?
2013. And then you came back on show number 10. I don't know how this happened, but it was my birthday and I thought it was a big deal back then. And you came for that.
That is awesome. Well, it's good to be back here, and it's just been a lot of fun to see you progress.
Well, you're progressing too. We're going to talk about that a lot later in the show. It's really something. You were also here with your then new husband, Jason, back in 2015.
And now we've been married for 3 years. That feels some days like 30, right?
I know. We got to get.
You would say that.
I'm sure Olive's talking. We need to get her.
Oh, yes.
That would be fun. Your daughter, Olive. So anyway, we got a lot to do. You're serving as my co-host this week, Angie. Thank
Honored
you very
to do
much.
That.
And I want to tell you, you're going to love the story of my first guest on the show is Michael Dubree, and he is on the cover of Men's Health magazine this month. How about that?
That's tremendous.
How you like that picture?
I mean, hello. But the story.
He's got some muscles, and yes, you're going to love the story about him. We're going to lead into that in just a second. First, I want to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plan. Been with me almost the whole way, and I really appreciate their help. They're getting ready to move to the West End, and I am just learning a lot about the West End on a project I'm working on with Passport. And
that's exciting.
Yeah, it's really great. So thanks to them for being a sponsor of the show. And again, Angie is going to be back. We're going to do a regular Rusty Satellite type interview later in the show. But Angie, right now we're going to get into Michael Dubree.
Ready.
Okay. Here's our interview. Here's my interview with Michael Dubree. I'll be back with Angie in just a moment.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is in great company because here in the Louisville.am studios, I have Michael Dubree. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you. You're on the cover of Men's Health magazine this month, and I don't know how a guy from Louisville ends up on the cover of Men's Health magazine, but you look great there, and I understand there was a trip to New York involved in this. I mean, it must be a great experience.
Yeah, absolutely. There were actually 2 trips to New York.
Okay.
2 free trips.
There you go.
Which was, a sight to see for somebody like me, because I come from a very small town.
Right.
So this was my first time in New York City. It was just like it was that what I seen in the movies and then some. So
okay.
It was very interesting.
Well, I know Men's Health magazine has this contest every year, and you came out on top of there was Facebook voting, and I know the staff of the magazine helps choose, and it must have been quite an experience, because when you went up there, you had to perform, right? They did a photo shoot and a lot of I guess you worked out for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I did have to do quite a bit of preparation on my behalf before I went up there. You know, of course, that included my typical 6 or 7 day workouts. Mm-hmm. Very strict diet. Matter of fact, just to give a brief summary, I lost 12 pounds in 6 days to do these pictures. So
wow.
I weighed 188 pounds in the cover picture, which I typically weigh around 200.
So. Okay. I need to take some of that advice. I think maybe, you know, my day of getting on the Senior Citizens Men's Health magazine or something. But no, seriously, this is what makes this of great interest to me is where you came from and how you got to this place. And I know I read the story of your family history and your addictions, and I know we don't have much time here, but if you could, I'm just really interested in hearing you talk about how low you were, or where was the bottom, and your decision to straighten your life out and become this guy that you are now.
Well, just to kind of give you a brief summary, you know, I started out, I grew up very poor, mm-hmm. very poor. I can remember at one time my mother used to cook for me on a kerosene heater.
And this was in Kentucky, or?
This was in Tompkinsville.
Okay.
Kentucky, Monroe County. You know, there was a lot of dysfunction in the home, a lot of drug activity. So I got to see that basically on a daily basis. And around the age of 13, I always done what I said I would never do. Mm-hmm. I started doing the same things that my mother and stepfather were doing. You know, started smoking marijuana, that alcohol. 16, I started using meth on a regular basis. And 20 years old, had a heart attack. While I was in the hospital for the heart attack, I got introduced to opiates, I had taken some pain medicine, but something happened that night. Okay. And from there, that started like a whole new journey as far as drugs were concerned. And I, you know, I went from the basic Lortab to OxyContin to even stronger form of painkiller, wow. Opana. And by that time, see, I was 23, getting ready to turn 24, and that's whenever I had gotten sober. But actually, at that time, you know, I didn't see my condition as bad as it was.
Right.
Even though I was homeless and, you know, just everything that I could get my hands on that was my possession, I would sell, or I sold, to get more drugs, more alcohol. Wow. You know.
Yeah. What put an end to that for you?
You know, my ex-girlfriend at the time, she, her mother and father, wanted her to get sober, and they mentioned the Healing Place. And, of course, I was really not too keen to the idea, but mm-hmm. I knew that she wouldn't go if I didn't go with her. So, I went to the Healing Place. I had no anticipation of remaining sober. I just, at that time, I really thought all was wrong with me is I've got a minute pill taking problem. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't see all the other things. You know, and it was the people's stories down at the Healing Place. You know, I could relate. You know, they told their stories. And, you know, I winded up catching what they call alcoholism, mm-hmm. you know. And,
You mean you went from the pills to alcohol, or was
no,
I missing it?
I grasped the reality.
Okay.
That
you realized you were an addict.
I realized, you know, at that moment, you know, hey, I'm an alcoholic and I'm a drug addict.
Okay.
You know, and I got to watch, you know, a big attention grabber for me was the number of people that I seen die. Mm-hmm. I got to watch a lot of my good friends die in a short amount of time. And, of course, this was all told to me by staff members of the Healing Place. But, you know, talk is cheap. But whenever you get to witness it with your own eyes, that's whenever it really got my attention.
Sure.
It was from there that, you know, it's almost like one day I had a moment of clarity. And, you know, I began to see things for the way they actually were. My mind was no longer lying to itself, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, if I don't do something about this, I'm no different than these other people. Like, right. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really started listening to what the people at the Healing Place suggested that I do.
And how long did, I mean, the process from the day you walked in there until, I mean, what were the steps? You were in there for a while, and then...
I was in the Healing Place. It was in around a 9 to 12 month program. Wow. I was there a total of 11 months. Of course, I did complete the program. And from there, I went to a halfway house. I stayed at a halfway house for around 2.5 years.
Wow.
And from the halfway house, I got an apartment for around a year and a half to 2 years. And then 2 years ago, I just purchased my first home.
Wow. Congratulations. Well, tell me about how fitness came into your life, and because obviously, I guess I think I read where you said you had all this time you used to spend doing drugs and stuff, and so you had a lot of free time.
Absolutely.
And so you put it into fitness.
Yes. While I was at the healing place, I got what happened was there was a guy that he would not quit bugging me and wanted me to go work out with him. Mm-hmm. And just so he would shut up, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the gym with you. And that was March 1st of 2011.
Wow.
And I walked into the gym that day, and I never, once again, I never had the anticipation of ever going back. And I've been going ever since. Hmm. And
but you didn't just go. Yeah, I mean, you had to go a lot. You're almost obsessive about it. I'm guessing.
I'm when I first started out, it was 5 to 6 days a week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've sort of kept that up, and you know, as part of this, you know, men's health is not picking guys that aren't in great
absolutely.
Shape.
Well, I mean, you know, I do not come from family members who are big sports advocates anyway. I didn't play sports, you know, I never done any kind of bodybuilding, exercising, none of that. You know, I told you what I done.
Yeah.
You know, I liked to party whenever I was younger, and that's what I did. And so once I got introduced to working out, you know, that guy that kind of showed me the ropes for a month or so winded up, he left. And so mm-hmm. I was kind of left on my own. So I just started reading, you know, men's health magazines, men's fitness, and talking to as many people as I possibly could, and just getting soaking up all the information about working out, to, you know, sure. training and nutrition that I could.
So this magazine that you ended up on the cover on is one of the things that helped you get to where you are.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I know it sounds made up, but it really did.
I believe it. Yeah. The only other the other aspect I wanted to ask about is the diet, and because I, you know, that's one thing I struggle with. You know, changing your diet in a radical way is apparently you did. I mean, that was stuff. I don't know if you. It doesn't sound like in your childhood there was a lot of healthy eating going on.
No, absolutely not. Of course, you know, I grew up on government assistance, so. You know, food stamps were the thing back then. And, you know, so mom would, it was about quantity and it wasn't about quality. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, she would get, you know, we had to make it last for the month until yeah. next month. Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I understand. But now you're on a great regimen and you've got a job. You don't have to go into great detail, but you came out of that and the job you have isn't something I mean it's a profession. You're in construction.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a member of local 181 operating engineers.
Okay.
I'm currently working with Paget Crane Service, and I have been with them ever since I got in the union 3 years ago. We are a crane rental, and we also mm-hmm. do machinery moving as well. So my job entails more than just, you know, cranes.
Yeah. 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 And I think I saw you said you helped. You were on the bridge construction crews?
I was a part of that.
Okay.
Yes. I wasn't on that project the whole time it was going on, but I was on that project several times.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Several times.
So we got to wrap it up here pretty soon. But what is this notoriety, this being on Men's Health, on the cover of Men's Health, how's that changed your life, or what's it meant for you, to you?
It's just a huge accomplishment for me. You know, to, you know, knowing where I come from, you know, and just to think, like, almost 7 years ago, you know, I was homeless, mm-hmm. strung out, just like those guys that you see at the ends of the off-ramps in the Louisville area.
Right.
That was me. Hmm. And then, you know, to go from that to that, the
yeah.
cover
yeah.
of Men's Health Magazine, the most popular men's magazine in the entire world. I'm still speechless every time I see it. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, it is unbelievable. It's a wonderful, inspiring story. I'm glad I got to hear it and learn about it from you. What's next for you?
I don't know. We're just playing it by ear right now. We'll just see. You know, actually, the magazine doesn't officially release till the 17th.
Okay.
So, you know, just kind of see what happens.
Well, I'm sure you'll be in demand in terms of media, and certainly, it's inspiring to me to hear your story. So I'm sure it will be to a lot of people.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. It comes out on Louisville.am.
I'm Angie Fenton, co-hosting today with Rick Redding, the Rusty Satellite Show. What a tremendous story Michael DeBrie has. Wow.
It's I was really impressed with meeting him and hearing him talk, mm-hmm. and some of the things he said off air, you know, about the people that helped him get where he was and the struggle that he had. And he also told me that his best friend, or one of his best friends, died of an overdose on the day that he learned that he won the contest.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's really something.
But he's proof that you can change your life.
Exactly. It really is. And, well, speaking of great stories, I think he'd be a great candidate to be on. For those who don't know Angie, she is a contributor at Great Day Live on WHAS-TV. Isn't that cool? And she
depends on the day.
She runs a magazine over there in southern Indiana called Extol, and is married to a wonderful husband, has a great 3-year-old daughter.
21-month-old.
21-month-old.
Feels like 3 years.
Yeah, it probably does. So, anyway, you've got a lot going on, but I guess you still keep up with the news.
I do. Right. I definitely do.
Right. You're in fact, I didn't tell you I was going to talk about this, but your station, WHAS, had this big interview with Tom Jurich the other day.
That was a huge get. Doug Proffitt did a great job.
Yeah, yeah. So, I guess for our listeners that might not have heard it, I heard bits and pieces of it. Jurich did what I expected. I've interviewed him twice. He's been on this show. He's pretty much a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came out with what he felt, and that he didn't feel like he deserved to be fired. And it's going to be interesting to see. I talked last week about, you know, these firings over at U of L. You know, the controversy is all about how much money they're going to get when they leave.
Right.
You know, you've had jobs like me. When they fired me, they say, here's your 2 weeks. See you later.
I didn't even get that. Mine was either sign on the dotted line that you will promise to tell people that you left, and I just
so I don't know why weeks. These guys over at U of L, even administrators, even people way back in the university, the university feels like they have to compensate these people when they mm-hmm. when they mess up and then they leave. So
I do have to say something though quickly about Tom Jurich. I got down here because of what is a now fantastic ex-husband, and he was the chief fundraiser at the time, mm-hmm. development director for U of L athletics, and so on a personal basis. Tom Jurich he welcomed me into the family. And in fact, when my ex and I divorced, and again, it was very amicable, it was during March Madness, and I called to tell him, and I was like, but go Cards, because the Cards were getting ready to play.
Yeah.
But Tom is one of the first and only people in this city when I got divorced who said to me and reached out and said, you are forever a part of this family. So I appreciate him. It's been sad to watch, but I think we'll talk sports more in just a minute.
Well, I encourage listeners to A, go watch the Proffitt interview, or B, listen. Before this all happened, I interviewed Jurich on this show a week before the stripper scandal started. So,
wow.
To get a perspective of how things were in the glory days, you could go listen to that. But as you know, Angie, and I'm sure you follow this show all the time, in the middle part of the show, we talk about some of the items in the news. And
you've got some.
You're in the news.
Interesting
one. You're interested in this stuff. I tell you that my listeners know that I like to talk about Dan Johnson, or as I refer to him, Crazy Dan Johnson.
Oh my!
He had this deal on the table. You know, Dan Johnson is a Metro councilman and is accused of sexual harassment on two different occasions, maybe three. and the other members of the Metro Council want to get rid of him. And he wants to save his job, I think, because he needs the money because he doesn't have any other source of income. He needs that $40,000 a year salary. But anyway, the thing that happened this week is on November 1st, today, the trial was supposed to start because the council members and Johnson considered a deal where he would be able to keep his job, but he couldn't speak to any other council members. He had a limited amount of time he could be at City Hall. And he, if he wanted to communicate in any way, he had to use phone or email. So that's a heck of a deal. That'd be a chilly place to, to yes. work, wouldn't it, Angie?
Yes, it would.
And then his, it turns out his attorney's crazy, too. Do you hear this?
I mean, I'm you can't hear me shaking my head, but I'm shaking my head.
His attorney, I'm sure he enamored himself to every woman in the city when Joe Girth in the Courier Journal quoted him as saying that he doesn't think women lawyers are worth anything, worth the time. He doesn't think they're as smart as men lawyers. These are antiquated ideas.
I could name drop 10 who would run circles around him. I mean, shame on him. But hey, you know what? When someone shows you who they are, believe them.
I know it's just amazing the things some people say and do, and you know it doesn't surprise me with Johnson's history that he's associated with some guy that's
no
sort of
surprise.
Like his legislative aide in the past was in all kinds of trouble for saying the wrong thing and stuff. So anyway, that's what's going on with that. I'm always interested in Governor Matt Bevin and marijuana. You know, we just talked with Michael about his ability to get off drugs and everything. But on the other hand, you know, I'm certainly in the position that, like all the states that have legalized some form of marijuana use, Kentucky should join in the bounty. I believe Kentucky's in a race to be the 50th state to legalize any form of marijuana. But did you hear what, Angie, you hear what Governor Bevin said this week?
No, I didn't.
Well, he thinks he's got these ideas that overdoses are occurring like all the time out in Colorado and that the hospitals are inundated. He's been public with his stance on these issues about overuse of marijuana and all the terrible things that are happening in the world because of it. Well, some smart guy at the Courier Journal decided to call him out and do a little research and called out to Colorado, found that there are zero fatal overdoses of marijuana, zero, and that there are a total of 200 cases of overconsumption, totally flying in the face of what Bevin said. And in the article, it said that 64% of Americans favor some sort of legalization of marijuana. At the same time, you know what Governor Bevin said?
It's never going to happen.
Never going to happen in Kentucky while I'm here. So anyway.
I live in Indiana, but those of you in Kentucky, make sure he's no longer there when it comes time.
Well, you guys aren't much better over there in Indiana.
I'm in southern Indiana. I like to live in a bubble sometimes and just think everything's rosy. But, I mean, that's insane. I mean, where do you get these? Everyone who continues to come out and make statements and have false facts. I mean, when did that happen?
I think it coincided with the election of a certain president, I know. But
I think so, too.
it's just like okay to lie, okay to be wrong on your facts. But
then won't answer to that, right? Am I
right,
correct?
Yeah.
That
oh, yeah.
I mean, and then people called him on it.
The Courier called Bevin's office, and as usual, Bevin refused to talk to the reporter. You know, and you know, I'm sure any day now we're going to have a YouTube video where Bevin's trying to go around the media and talk to the public directly. So, you know, that's what he... That's his mode.
That's a shame.
That's his mode. So anyway, a bigger topic I want to talk to you about, Angie, something that's been on my mind, especially with all this U of L controversy in the athletics department and all the negative stuff that's going on. It's not just that the football team is terrible. It's not just that the basketball team is awash in scandal. It's not that the university administration is making headlines only for how much they're going to pay people who leave. But I'm just... getting sort of burned out on the whole college athletics thing. You can't. I just can't hardly stand listening to sports talk radio anymore. What do you think?
I mean, it's tough, especially if you're a Cards fan right now. It's tough, But at the same time, I went to French Lick with a bunch of women recently, and other than to text my husband, and you know, he had to send me a couple pictures of our daughter to make sure I was okay. It was our first time away.
Wow, big move.
I did not read the free newspaper that they brought to the room. I did not look at social media. I wouldn't do anything involving news. Just kind of that overload. And I think taking a step back from college sports, like, that's necessary, but there's so many amazing things still happening over there.
Well, I picked up this guy. I was driving around for Lyft the other day, and I picked up this guy who's been a lifelong season ticket holder, football and basketball. And he said he'd gotten together with his buddies to go to the game with, and he's made a decision to make a lifestyle change, that all that time that he spent reading about, listening to, attending games, all this stuff associated with college sports, he's got a whole list of other things he's going to do with that time. I don't think I might take him up on part of that, too. You know, there's a lot of better things to be doing, actually participating in sports yourself or you know, all that. It's a real burnout factor. I think it's going to really affect things around here. I'm anxious to see how they do with attendance over at U of L and all that. So.
But I do have to also say, I mean, like, when you see people like Ken and Tina Lola and the soccer team and the baseball team, and I mean, don't forget about, I mean, those are kids. Those are kids doing tremendous things. The swimming, I mean, I'm hopeful that most fans will remain fans, but sometimes I think it is. You maybe appreciate what it is by stepping away.
What you know are true amateurs, you know, in a high school athletics or something. Yeah. You know, knowing that college basketball players are routinely expecting a $100,000 payment to go to a school. I mean, even if that's not true of what happened at U of L, it's apparently widespread in the whole thing. So, I mean, it certainly taints college sports, and I think I'm going to find some better things to do.
Well, and I have to just add to this, though, being over in Indiana, Romeo Langford, number 5 senior in the country, who knows what will happen by the time, you know, somebody listens to this. Maybe he will declare where he's going, but great parents who are protecting him from all of that, and I was very pleased to see them take Louisville off the table. I mean, they also took Kentucky, but I was very pleased to see that because, I mean, you don't want your kid to start.
Yeah.
Even though it's not deserved to paint the whole entire university with the same brush. But I also have to say, if you are going to step away from collegiate sports, consider supporting something like Louisville City FC.
City FC is a great one.
That, I mean, that's fun.
Well, and we'll get into this in the next segment, but you have started up, operate a sports arm of your operation in Southern Indiana. So I'm sure there's plenty of great stuff to go see and pay attention to over there.
Absolutely.
All right, but we don't have to. We don't necessarily have. You can join me if you like, and it's not a boycott. It's not in any way. It's finding better things to do with my time and my life.
Absolutely.
So too bad for, you know, all the sports talk radio I'm going to be missing out on, but I'm going to make a conscious effort to sort of be in the dark about what's going on with U of L and the basketball team. So, anyway, so that's our news segment. That was fun, right?
That was fun.
Okay. Next segment, we're going to talk about you and what's going on in your life as our Rusty Satellite Show 226 guest number 2. And I'm looking forward to it. So what all are we going to discuss here, Angie? We've got Olive number 1.
My daughter
Olive. And I'm disappointed she's not here with you.
I know, we would get nothing done though.
And anyway, you're on TV and you've got this great media career in publishing over there. So when we come back, we'll talk about that with Angie right here on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All
All right, and we are back on the Rusty Satellite Show. Angie, it's great to have you here in the studio. We're just talking up a storm, aren't we?
It's been a lot of fun. I'm glad to be back.
We've got all kinds of things to discuss, but what we're going to discuss now it's all about you. And I am very curious. I haven't seen you in like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
What you been doing?
Woof.
Or you know, we'll have to stop the show because you'll run over time if I said, well, tell me about your daughter.
Right, right. Well, that's been the big part. Olive Angela Faith Applegate, that's her full name. Angela for me, because I kept my last name, and Applegate for my husband. And then my husband was married before, and Andrea died of lymphoma back in 2010 after being diagnosed 6 months before. And her middle name was Faith. So we like to think that she was a part of this. But Olive is an amazing, amazing addition to our life. Definitely our priority. She is a wild child. She makes me feel good about the future for her. She's one of those kids who will do something wrong, and then I'll say, Olive, if you do X, Y, or Z one more time, you're going to time out. And so you'll see her face just kind of think about it. She'll do it one more time.
She's thinking, is it worth it?
And then she'll walk herself to time out.
Is it worth? Yeah, I think.
But she's amazing. But in addition to that,
and she deals with all those dogs. I guess you still have all those dogs.
Well, and we just added another one. We're fostering. So I'm the public relations director for the Arrow Fund, which rescues abused and neglected animals in Kentucky and Indiana. And earlier, you were talking about how Kentucky's in a quote unquote race to legalize marijuana, like for the 50th.
Yeah.
Well, Kentucky continues to be the 50th or number one, really, as the worst state in terms of laws
for animals.
Advocating for the humane treatment of animals. But we have Jake the St. Bernard from Southern Indiana Animal Rescue, Yoda, who's a Chiweenie from Animal Care Society. Chihuahua wiener dog. Herbie, who's my old girl. I rescued her in 2002 when I moved here that fall, and she was shot, her pelvis had been broken, all these awful things. I fostered her through the Arrow or through the Shamrock, and then opted to keep her instead. Wow. And then Major, who's a collie, who's almost starved to death from the Arrow Fund. And then recently Haven from the Arrow Fund is a boxer puppy, 6 to 9 months old, who was chained out in a backyard in Louisa, Kentucky, and almost starved to death. And now she's our fifth addition, in addition to
five dogs,
Dash and Wally, our two cats. And it's so fun because everybody gets along. Like, they wrestle with each other and play with each other. So that's been taking up some time, not just at home, but working with the Arrow Fund. But and then my husband
and I started cleaning up all that dog poop.
Oh my gosh, I look at Olive every day and I just go, it's only a few more years until that's yours. At least she knows, though, because the old girl, I mean, Harry doesn't know what she's doing half the time, even though it's not time yet. We know it's not time to say goodbye. But Olive at least will point out messes and just go, ew. Like, here's some paper towel, a little too young. But then my husband and I started Extol Magazine. It'll be 3 years in February since our first issue debuted. And then we debuted a sports fitness health magazine called Extol Sports in January of this year. So that keeps us hopping.
That must be great. I know it must be successful. I see billboards over in Indiana for that, and I see the magazine in restaurants and stuff. So
we're having a good. We went from zero to more than 700 locations throughout Southern Indiana, and Louisville have been kind enough to carry our magazine.
I got to tell you, it is. You had to have your skeptics at the beginning, including
for
people
sure.
like me who said print is dead and there's never going to be another, you know.
Absolutely.
That would be the worst thing you could do, would be to go into print media.
But it has, I mean, these niche publications are proving otherwise. And very often, I mean, I just got a call last night from someone who wanted to see if we have any extra copies of the October-November issue that we just had out. And I said, well, here's a good problem to have. No, we actually don't. And that's, I mean, that's been wonderful.
I wanted one of those too. Okay.
But we also are doing video and social media and sometimes acting almost as a public relations agency for some of our clients. We have true partnerships with them. So
the advertisers are into it.
And
they're sure they want
they
to
are. They're
be a
true
part
partners.
Of the content.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
So you got that other job you do over
oh, yeah,
TV
that,
station.
The WHAS 11. That's right. There's also that, which, I mean, almost every weekday I'm somewhere new. Today I was backside at Churchill Downs. It was freezing, but I love all of the people over there. Damn. And can't wait for Breeders' Cup to come here next year. That's
gonna
be exciting.
That's going to be fun. What was going on? I know there's a bunch of construction going on over there.
Yes, right? $32 million project. They'll have a phase of it done by Derby. And then should have it complete by the time Breeders' Cup is here next year. So it life is hopping, I guess. But it's always fun.
But that's got to be a heck of a schedule. You must have to get up at, what, 5, some ungodly hour?
Depends on whether I'm on the wagon with my workouts or not. Okay. I'm trying hard. I still want to compete again in a bodybuilding contest. But I go to Planet Fitness in New Albany, and so I can go at any time, and so I can get up very, very early, which I prefer to do. And then I'd like to spend time with Olive in the morning. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then take her to preschool, go work, and then depending on the day, sometimes I might pick her up early. We spend some time together, and then I work a late night. But I am proud to say that I finally am getting a handle somewhat on balance. That was something I was absolutely terrible at.
Yeah,
in the majority of my adulthood. Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
But she is my priority, and so is my husband and, you know, our family. But she has helped in so many ways.
Well, I guess I would like to ask you about this. Somebody lives over there. I make all these jokes about that vast expanse of water that keeps me from ever going to Indiana, but Southern Indiana seems to have some momentum going.
It does.
As the person who publishes the magazine about it, there's a lot going on there.
It's exciting. When I have friends who come over and they've never been over before, they're stunned. I mean, you go to downtown New Albany, or I mean, Jeffersonville is just blooming with new businesses. I mean, it also, even these smaller towns, I mean, there's so much to do. And we're so close to Louisville, but I have to say that what I love about it is that we are progressive, we are growing, but there's still a little bit more of that, I don't know, the genteel or hospitality. It's small town in addition to feeling like we are like a Brooklyn, you know, to Louisville's New York.
Well, I would say that, you know, the thing we haven't talked since the bridges got finished late last year, and all these things that people predicted, like these giant, I drive a lot and drive over there, and it's so easy to get on the Second Street Bridge and avoid the tolls, and there's rarely traffic backed up there. So, you know, I'm sure that's a more positive outcome than a lot of people thought. You know?
I think so. I mean, and, you know, everybody's complaining. They always do before something like that, you know, transpires, but then you give it a few months, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay. But we love, like, the East End Bridge, love going on that. Not only is it a beautiful design, but going from Indiana to Louisville, I mean, almost no traffic. Yeah. Like,
well, I don't.
We
I
love it.
That's so far. I just wonder about the use of that bridge. I know we got statistics that, but, you know, it just seems like I don't go out there very often, but I use the Second Street a lot.
And well, and when you're trying to go, say, to the Summit or something, like for us now, we'd have to go all the way around. And now it's boom. You've just got the straight shot. I do have to tell you one other thing with Extol that we have done, which has been really a tremendous partnership. We are one of the marketing partners for Mesa, a collaborative kitchen, which is over in downtown New Albany.
Oh, yes, I got to go to one of those events.
That's,
you remember, we saw each other there and you skipped out.
I know. I had to go home and get the baby. My husband and Christian, our videographer, photographer, got to stay and eat. I gave him my seat.
That was
but
really
if you
nice.
Are going to, I mean, you want a great experience. They are bringing in the top-notch chefs from around our community. I mean, Louisville, Indiana, all over the place.
Wow.
So,
well, yeah, that's a very...
highly recommend.
That's a good deal. There's a lot of great restaurants over there. I know we were doing the restaurant podcast. So what's next for you? I mean, you need to add a few more things to your plate, right?
No. Oh,
how about another child?
No.
How about that?
No. This one, first one wasn't supposed to happen. I can't wait someday to tell her that story. Somebody told me that kind of was insinuating that would be offensive. And I'm like, absolutely not. We did everything to not have a child, and we still had one. Hmm. So she has to know she was meant meant to be. But I'll overshare for a second. After, I mean, I'm old, and in terms of carrying a baby, I don't feel old now, but I had her on my 41st birthday, 12:05 a.m. on January 20th, which, by the way, is the presidential inauguration every 4 years. But I had her on my birthday, and at 41, and I told my husband after we got home, he may as well sleep in the basement until he decides to go to the proper doctor to ensure that that never happens again, because I was not going through that again. I will say, though, I mean, I was so lucky to be pregnant and to have a healthy child. Is adoption off the table? I'm adopted. Four of the five Fenton kids are adopted. I wouldn't say fully off the table. We've talked about it, but kudos to people who have more than one kid, because yeah. I don't know how you do it. I really don't know how you do it.
Well, I have three, and you know, it's really not that hard once you're on the other side of it.
Everybody says that.
You know, it was tough for a little while there, but yeah, it's all great.
I mean, you know, I just
they will grow up.
I know. It's going so quick, quick.
They're all going to be out there in the world. I mean, you're already used to adopting with all the animals, so just,
I know. So what's one more? Yeah, just no hair.
That would be funny. All right, Angie. Well, let's let you plug some stuff. Your magazine, are we getting ready to have a new one?
We sure are. We're getting ready to go to press just before Thanksgiving. We'll have our winter fashion in there, as well as we're hoping. I'm working on our cover focus, which could potentially be a couple of people who are making it on a national scale. Mm-hmm. ExtolMag.com, otherwise Extol Magazine on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then Extol Sports goes to press every month, where Extol is bi-monthly. And so we're working on that one as well. And that's ExtolSports.com.
All right. Sounds great.
Thank you, Ray.
It's all good, and you can watch Angie on Great Day Live on WHS TV if you're one of those people who gets up in the morning and watches TV. And it's all great. Man, it's so great to revisit with
Good
you.
To see you. I just hear you or see you on, you know, Facebook stuff, but good okay. to see you.
Well, good. Well, I'll be back to close up the Rusty Satellite Show for this week in just a moment. And a big thank you to my guest this week, Michael Dubree, who is on the cover of Men's Health Magazine. You can catch it at your local newsstand. I bought one at the CVS store up by my house in J-Town, and there's some great stuff in there. There's a great video of Michael online talking about his journey to becoming the ultimate guy at Men's Health. And also to Angie Fenton, I really appreciate her coming in. She was on show number 7, one of my earliest supporters and one of the earliest people to realize that this Rusty Satellite Show podcast is a big deal. So as always, I have the most interesting people in the Ville present on this show, and I'm sure that I will come back next week with two more such interesting folks for the Rusty Satellite Show podcast. Thanks to my friends at Passport Health Plan for sponsoring the show. I really appreciate their participation in the Rusty Satellite Show, and hope you have a great weekend. There's a lot of stuff to do in town. It's getting a little colder, but there's still plenty to do. You can find out about a lot of that stuff on the Pulse of the City, LouisvilleKY.com. That's the website I operate. Open to any suggestions you have for content there or for guests here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Give me a call or look me up on Facebook at Rick Redding. Thanks again for tuning in to the podcast. Tell your friends, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. Airplane.